Oh, I had this upside down. All right, let's start over with our home was the focus. Let's say that again. It wasn't going.
Our home was the focus of the family for holidays, anniversaries, and the like. My husband's professional work tied him up every day in the week. It was rare that we could plan for excursions, although we tried, as most families do, to have the usual picnics and vacations. Wherever I went, I met people who knew my husband. I was proud of his role in their lives. And it was apparent to me that he was well respected in the general community. My own activities grew also. I was related not only to the Council of Jewish Women, but to Hadassah. I had become friends with some very wonderful women who really helped broaden my vision of our relationship to Judaism and to the Jewish community, not only of Pittsburgh, but of the world. We became strongly convinced of our responsibilities to the Jewry of Europe, to the problem of the Holocaust in Germany, and of the growing community in Palestine. And while my children grew to maturity and took up their special interests, both of them, taking them to Cambridge, Simeon to Harvard, and Judith to Radcliffe, I carried on a great deal of study, which made it possible for me to head up the education program in Hadassah and to express my desire for an improved atmosphere in the whole milieu of American society, in the question of race relations, in the question of economic adequacy and family life. You think we have enough to go on?
At what point are you going to be take your job? At what point is this what you're leading to?
Yes,
that.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, she's so aware of these.
You're still on.
By the time my daughter graduated from college and my son from high school, I was offered a position as executive of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the city. This was a coordinating group tying up the defense activities of the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, B'nai B'rith, the Jewish Labor Committee, and the Jewish War Veterans. It led me into a field of endeavor where I found my experiences, my education, and whatever natural talents I had of maximum usefulness. And I know that I was privileged to be given the opportunity to exercise these skills for the benefit of the community. It was a career that was destined to span nearly 23 years. It is difficult to choose a point of vantage from which to evaluate the coming decades. I look back on my entry into the Pittsburgh community at the same time as I entered my mature life. I had come into a family that was rooted in the old tradition. My husband's parents were much older than my own parents were, and many of the members of the family represented the older tradition. Their years in the Hill District had kept them in close contact with the synagogues and with the institutions of the Hill, even during the very years when the dispersal of the Jewish community was taking place. And when I had come to Pittsburgh as a bride, I came to live in the East End, and we naturally moved backward and forward from what was then called the East Liberty District, and where the new synagogues, the B'nai Israel and Adas Yeshurun synagogues, were in the process of being constructed. And my husband related to the West Penn Hospital, where he took his internship, and inevitably our lives were very much affected by these geographic considerations. I recall also that the Irene Kaufman settlement was often mentioned in conversations by many of the people whom we met. And of course, there was a great interest in the Young Men's Hebrew Association, which came to be constructed on Belfield Avenue. Inevitably, the Jewish community was focused on East End, and then progressively and increasingly on Squirrel Hill. And the people whom I knew and associated with, the women who were active in Hadassah, the Council of Jewish Women, the women with whom I had my rather simple and modest social engagements, were from those areas. I think it suitable for me to mention that there was undoubtedly a tremendous economic growth going on. What had been the very early almost poor immigrant population, the small merchants, what stemming out of the peddlers, the some small manufacturers. We even had a International Ladies Garment Workers Union in Pittsburgh in those decades, a phenomenon that was not to last very long. And the little storekeepers became big storekeepers. And there was no question but what practically every parent whom I knew, was absolutely set on having their children go to college. This was, without exception, the goal of every parent. The homes in East End and Squirrel Hill were pleasant homes. Not great estates, to be sure, but pleasant homes nonetheless. And along with this economic and social growth, I think we should take note of civic growth. We begin to notice people taking more and more interest in institutions and participating in social welfare agencies, the care of the aged, and the care of children, and the care of the sick. The hospital became a very big and expensive adjunct to society. With my own private life, my little children, my son and daughter, occupied a great deal of my time. I did a great deal of reading while I was caring for them and while my husband was embarked on his home care. There was no such thing as refusing to make a house call to a patient at any hour of the day or night. And happily, I was busy with a great deal of reading. It was in that period when I read Gretz's 6-volume History of the Jews from beginning to end.
Oh, wow.
And a great deal of other material, too.
Lillian, would life have been very different in Boston, where the cultural and economic picture the Jewish community very different?
Not too different. I went through these evolutions. I don't think it was too different. You know, many of our people came from many of the same kind of roots. There may have been a few more of the educated ones of the German Jews. And I think in Boston, because of the sheer proximity to the coast, we'd get many of these young immigrant boys, and they would head for Harvard right away. When you walked from 1915, when we first became identified with Harvard, until about 1930, when you walked across the Harvard yard, the guttural accents of the foreign-speaking students were very much in evidence. And that was when they used to make jokes about President Lowell after his family came to visit him after a while, and he was speaking with an accent.
But these weren't Jewish immigrants only, were they?
Yes, they were.
Oh, they were?
Most.
Not the other nationals.
No, not what you'd see around here. See, that in that way, there was the difference. We didn't have the Central Europeans in any great numbers at all. There were Irish and eventually some Italians. But when I talk about the educated immigrants, it was mostly Jewish. Right.
That's interesting. Yeah. I put that on, Lillian.
Did you? All right. Now, I recall that our philanthropic agencies underwent considerable evolution. I remember when the social workers began to become evident in our society. When Mr. Bernstein, what was his first name? Not Julius, Ludwig.
Ludwig was
Dr. Ludwig Bernstein was the head of the philanthropies, and was quite instrumental in instilling a bit of organizational pride and professionalism into the operations of the work. And of course, we still had little leftovers of the old tradition on Thursdays when the women went to market to get ready for Shabbos. There was a gentleman who used to dangle a pushgate, you know, a cup, a tin cup, and he'd remind the women that they should share what they had with the poor for Shabbos. We always did. And he did that for years. And even though the social workers were already keeping their records and doing everything in a modern way, there was enough of a remnant of the old personal charity and the food baskets and sort of thing. And by the way, they still have a little bit of that left on the hill, even in 1973. Now, We cannot ignore the fact that from 1930 on, we had a depression, which had a very profound effect on the whole of American life, and it also affected Jews.
It must have had a big effect on your husband, particularly.
Oh, frankly. I had a little shagmore coat that I wore for 9 years, and half the patients didn't pay their bills.
Right. Were you paid in kind, potatoes
well,
and eggs?
Well, some that had anything did, some didn't. I know there was a little bench upstairs that one of his patients made because he couldn't pay his bill. The depression struck the Jewish community as it struck everyone else. And we not only had many beggars coming to our doors, but we knew very fine people whose whole financial structure had been cut away. The organized community responded very well to the demands of the times, and a great deal of personal humanitarian effort was in evidence. On the other hand, I think there was no question but what the Jewish community did an exceptionally good job of coping with the problems of the Depression. And then it was in those years that we began to receive newcomers fleeing from the Nazi persecutions in Germany. And we had that element called the German refugees. And they became an integral part of the community. And as in other areas, some were extremely successful in integrating themselves and became useful and happy members of the community, and some were swallowed up inevitably. I am happy to say that I number among some of these people some of my best friends, and I think there was a definite effect on the old demarcation between the German and the Eastern Jews. It was not so pronounced after these newcomers became a part of our group. We found them engaged in all of the activities that the rest of us were engaged in. Also, I think we might take note of the fact that there was a beginning interest in Zionism. I should not say beginning, because of course it had begun earlier, but it became much more pronounced, and the interest in the movement of Jews from some of the parts of Europe where Jews were definitely suffering persecution, the highly important necessity of finding homes for them forced us to take a much more constructive and creative interest in the restoration of the Jewish homeland in Palestine. That meant that in Pittsburgh, Hadassah and the Zionist organization and all of the whole satellite of organizations interested in Palestine, as we called it then, flourished. And among us, many of the newcomers, German Jews, took a great interest in these organizations too. The Montefiore Hospital absorbed quite a few Jewish doctors as they emerged from the medical schools. And of course, also, with the outbreak of World War II, many of the professionals who were trained in the various services found opportunities for the exercise of their skills and talents. And became important, constructive members of the community.
Lillian, before, right in that period before World War II, how did you see the Jewish community's relationship with the non-Jewish community?
Well, I think I should have talked about that. I cannot leave the 30s without referring to fact that there were certain evidences of anti-Semitism. The Sunday speeches of Father Coughlin, what was called the Little Flower, the pulpit of the Little Flower, were definitely anti-Semitic in character, and we began to hear reports that showed us that the poison of anti-Semitism, which was being spread in by the printed word and other reports from Germany, took its hold in this country. By this, I do not mean to say that all was idyllic as far as the relationship of Jews to the non-Jewish world was concerned. There has been, and I'm afraid that there still is, a layer of deeply rooted failure to understand between the Christian world and the Jewish world. Perhaps this episode may be helpful. When we first began to get reports of Nazi atrocities, I remember Rabbi Stephen Wise carrying such a report that had been brought to him through labor people from Poland. Efforts were made to reach leaders in the Christian churches, and I had a call from New York asking if we might get some of the leaders of the churches in Pittsburgh to hold a special service of prayer for the victims of Nazi atrocities.
What year would this have been?
Well, that must have been about 41.
This is after the war started.
Yes. And I called a very well-known Protestant minister and asked him. I asked, I think it was Reverend Kerr, if it would be possible for some of the leading churches to take cognizance of the Nazi atrocities and perhaps introduce special prayer. His answer was, "I'm afraid our schedules are very full. Perhaps next year." That was the end of that. But I thought it was rather symptomatic. And I don't think that this man was any more brutal or cruel than anyone else, but just the habitual thoughtlessness as far as these things are concerned.
However, Lillian, in all fairness, the church was not that active in any social issues.
Well, but this wasn't a social issue. This was just sheer humanity. Next year, you understand.
I understand when all the Jews
would
be gone.
He would put in a prayer. Well, I think that's the only time I've used a name, and since it is a matter of my faulty memory, maybe I shouldn't have put that name. It was a Reverend Kerr. I think he was head of Council of Churches.
Sorry.
I don't know why it stays
that's
with me.
Right.
Just anyhow, now, I guess I get back to my room. In a general way, we as Jews were quite comfortable, especially when we looked at the European scene and also at the American scene, where opportunities for development and advancement were pretty free, and Jews could exercise their imagination and their talents in whatever field they were disposed. Nevertheless, this does not mean that we had an ideal situation, because we were in a society that was preponderantly Protestant, with a good dosage of Catholic, and the habit of the Christian world was strong upon us. When some of our merchants wanted to keep their stores open on Sunday, it was an offense to many people. We had many blue laws in Pittsburgh, as we did in other communities, and we found it necessary from time to time to come to the help of some little storekeeper who depended for his livelihood on the sales to Jews who came from the outer suburban communities to do their shopping on Sundays.
Now, when you say we had to come to the help, do you mean the Jewish
the
community?
The Jewish community.
The community or the JCRC?
Well, I use the word community in a general sort of way. Eventually, the JCRC was the voice of the community there. Now, I may say that I approached the period of my own service in the Jewish Community Relations Council. My children were grown. My daughter was graduating from Radcliffe College. My son was graduating from Taylor Alderdice High School and was about to enter college, Harvard. And I was asked by Mr. Kaufman, who took a great interest in Jewish community relations, if I would be willing to...
Was this Edgar Kaufman?
If I would be willing to take on a full-time assignment of heading up the what was then called the Jewish Public Relations Committee. After some discussion with my husband, I agreed and embarked on a chapter of my life, which I enjoyed very much, and to which I have already referred. I think perhaps the story of how the name of the committee was changed may be of some significance. Shortly after I came to that office in the Grogan Building, where I found Rose Lichter Kaplan, who was my secretary, I expressed the thought that the words Public Relations Committee did not adequately describe our function. I was frequently asked by members of other organizations just what we did. And with the consent of the committee, we changed the name to the Jewish Community Relations Council, symbolizing the coordinating effect of all the different agencies which we represented. And on the board of that council, as then constituted, were delegates from the five organizations which I have already listed. Right. The label defense agencies was used to describe the function of these national bodies, which had offices in the large American cities. And I think that reveals exactly what the leadership had in mind when they felt called upon to cope with the effects of prejudice wherever they encountered it. Counteract prejudice in public life, in the business world, in schools. We had necessarily to establish as many points of contact as we could.
All right.